Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bethel Covenant Church podcast, where we host the latest sermons and other programming. You can also visit us on Facebook and YouTube to watch videos of our sermons, checking up with the latest updates, and to view further programming. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at bethelcov.org. Thank you for listening to this program.
The Swansons had a big decision to make in the next few weeks. Where to go for back-to-school shopping? After thinking about all the possible spots that they could go, whether it was the Apache Mall in Rochester or the premium outlet stores in Woodbury, Minnesota, they also thought if we were to go to Milwaukee, they could go to the Mayfair, Brookfield Square, or Stone Ridge Mall. Or another option they realized that they had was to head up to Shields in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And after some discussion, they decided to go to Shields. But why? Why Shields and not the other places? Well, it depends who you ask in the Swanson family. If we ask the teenage daughter, she says Shields was her choice because shopping is shopping after all. Shields will have clothes that she likes, plus a quick Snapchat message with friends, and they can meet her there. If we ask the 10-year-old son in the Swanson family, he's honest and says, you know, shopping's fun for about 3 minutes. But the reason why he wanted to go to Shields is because there's a Ferris wheel, plus they have deer mounts and fish. Now, I don't actually know if there's a Ferris wheel in the Eau Claire Shields, but apparently some of them have Ferris wheels. Rochester doesn't. Somewhere, Shields has Ferris wheels. When we ask Mrs. Swanson why she wanted to go to Shields, she tells us that she likes going to Shields to do some shoe shopping, and it's a chance to get some gourmet coffee. Mr. Swanson's reason to go to Shields is a little more practical. He just happens to have a Shields credit card, so anything that the family spends at the store, he gets bonus points back for any future purchases. And as it happens, every year, this time of year, Shields is having a deer expo with special discounts and presenters. So that was Mr. Swanson's choice as well. Why did the Swansons go to Shields? Well, depends who you ask. The daughter, son, wife, dad will all have different reasons. Is there one ultimate reason? As we come to the end of the book of Luke, we come to the end of Jesus' ministry and what will be his climax of his life and mission work. Chapters 22, 23, and 24 tell the story of Jesus' last moments with his disciples, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and then the final words before his ascension back to heaven. And this morning, we're going to focus in on the reason Jesus died. And what we will see is the reason he died depends on the perspective that we take. Let's start with the human reason. And there are a number of different individuals or groups of people who took part of Jesus' death. And depending on who we focus on, we see that there's different reasons within the human reason of why Jesus dies. First, there are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the religious leaders. Luke 22:2. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. It is out of fear that the religious leaders wanted to get rid of Jesus. Fear that he would no longer follow them, but rather that the people would follow Jesus. Fear that the people would see that they are not as caring or as compassionate or as loving as Jesus. Fear that they would lose their status in society. Fear that they would lose their wealth that comes from the people. A leader is only a leader if there are people following them. And as the people wanted to follow Jesus, instead of them, the religious leaders feared that there would be no one to follow them. And out of that fear, they wanted to get rid of Jesus. Fear is the first human reason Jesus died. Luke 22:4-6 says, he went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. The chief priests and the religious leaders needed a plan. They needed a way to get rid of Jesus. And with the help of Judas, one of the chosen 12, they were able to arrest Jesus. And Judas's motivation is found in verse 5, which is money. Now, there's some speculation that Judas perhaps never intended for Jesus to be actually killed. Some scholars wonder if Judas was hoping Jesus would be a political leader. It's hard to find those things in the direct biblical evidence, but those are some of the conclusions that people come to. What we do know is that Judas's human reason to betray Jesus was money, and the result of that is probably greed and everything that money brings with it. Judas perhaps wanted status or opportunity or leisure or some kind of sense of security, some of these things that people in general look to money to provide. Unfortunately, Judas put his hope in the wrong place. Money ultimately could not provide for Judas in a way that Jesus could or would. And when Judas saw what happened to Jesus, Judas attempted to return the money and then hung himself out of complete despair. There's an interesting third human reason why Jesus died, and this is from the perspective of Pilate. Pilate was appointed by the Roman Emperor Tiberius as the procurator or overseer of Judea. And in that position of power, Pilate could sentence people to death by capital punishment, or he could reserve the capital punishment sentence, or reverse it. He could reverse the capital punishment that was perhaps passed by the Sanhedrin. Pilate was also in the position to control the temple funds, and he appointed high priests. So knowing all of this, all that Pilate was doing for the Jewish people, it made sense then that they would bring Jesus in front of Pilate, because Pilate had the power. Pilate, though, did not initially give the verdict the religious leaders were looking for. During Jesus' trial, Pilate 3 times says, "This man is innocent. I find no reason to put him to death." Picking up the story in Luke 23, Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A 3rd time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed, so Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. Quoting scholar D.H. Wheaton, he notes, "This verdict, the agreement to kill Jesus, was due less to a desire to please the Jewish authorities than the fear of the imperial displeasure of Tiberius if Tiberius heard of further unrest in Judea." So the reason why Pilate gave in wasn't necessarily to please the religious leaders. He didn't really care about them, but he didn't want to upset Tiberius, who put him in that position of power. While Pilate may not have been a religious man per se, he did have a God-given conscience. And with that, Pilate had a sense of right and wrong. And he knew it would be wrong to sentence Jesus to death based on the sham evidence that was brought before him, and yet he relented. Pilate's human reason for Jesus to die was that he gave in to the crowd. Pilate liked being in power. He didn't want an uprising that would cause his removal from his position. Pilate did not stand up for what was right. Pilate, as that key person in power, gave in to the crowd And so Jesus was not released. Instead, Barabbas was released, and Jesus died in his place. Fear, money, giving in are all the human reasons why Jesus died. Now, humans were not the only actor in this story. Satan, too, had a part. In fact, going back to Judas's role, we read in Luke 22:3, then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. Satan had a reason to kill Jesus. Simply put, Satan is God's adversary. In fact, this is what the Greek word satanas means. It means adversary. Satan opposes God and God's plan. God wants people to be with him, so Satan then does not want people to be with God. God wants to send Jesus to save the world, so Satan then wants to stop Jesus from saving the world. Another way to think about this is to say that Satan is God's enemy. And this whole idea of enemy is an interesting one. While I intellectually understand the concept, I can't really say that I have enemies, and hopefully no one can say that Pastor Joel is their enemy. Satan, as God's enemy, initially tried to thwart God's plan of Jesus being the Savior of the world by tempting Jesus for 40 days in the desert. Satan thought at that time, if I can just get this perfect being to sin, then God would no longer have a perfect sacrifice to cover human sin. We covered this story, Jesus' temptation, that story back on July 2nd, learning how we can overcome temptation in the same way that Jesus overcame temptation. And this is how that story ends, verse 13 of Luke 4. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Satan was playing the long game. He knew there might be a better time to thwart God's plan. And so Satan entered Judas and thought, this is it. This is the time that I will thwart God's plan by getting rid of Jesus. Satan attacks God. This is an assault not just on the Son of God, but on God. Jesus is God, and Satan knows this. And while Satan is very powerful, he is not all-powerful. While Satan is very knowledgeable, he is not all-knowing. Death has power, death has sting, and Satan thought killing this God-man Jesus means I win. This will be the way that I defeat God, if I can kill Jesus. A dead God is no God at all. Human beings will no longer worship God. They will worship me because my power is greater. Perhaps this was the reason why Satan wanted to kill Jesus. Well, Satan's power is not greater. Death does not defeat God. Satan's plan does not work. What he intended for harm, God used for good. God is always able to bring beauty from ashes. God is always able to bring the dead back to life. Satan's reason to kill Jesus was his ongoing war with God and to stop God's plan to draw people into relationship with him. Satan is that prideful fallen angel who wants to lure people away from God, and he thought killing Jesus was the way to do that. Ha! God used what Satan did as a way to bring people to him. Once Jesus rose from the dead, death lost its power for anyone who is a new creation in Christ. And with that truth, we are beginning to see God's reason why Jesus died. But before we dive into God's reason, let's look at Jesus' reason to die. And the quick question may be, well, isn't Jesus' reason the same as God's reason? It is, because Jesus is God, and yet God is a triune God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. So reading the story in Luke, we see that there is this part of Jesus, this human part of Jesus that did not want to die. Luke 22:42, Jesus praying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is Jesus' prayer to God. Jesus ultimately knows that the best path in life is not his will, but God's will. The reason Jesus dies is because of his obedience to his heavenly Father. Obedience even to death on the cross. What is God's reason for Jesus to die? Well, the reason is behind all of that Luke writes, but I actually turned to John 3, which does a great job summarizing for us. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness so that the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God's reason for Jesus to die is so that we would not die. God's love for humans creates a desire to have humans be with him both now and for all of eternity. When you love something or someone, you want to be with him. Jesus' death is just one part of God's plan. First, Jesus needed to live the perfect life. And then it was his sacrifice. Then it was his resurrection, followed by his ascension back to heaven. If all that Jesus did was die, then that really does not do us any good. Someone dying does not save anyone. In order for humans to be with God for all of eternity, the one who dies had to be the Christ. And after the Christ died, had to rise again. Jesus, the Son of God, was sent by God because of God's love. God wants humans to be with him. And so he paved the way through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Well, why can't we just be with God when we die? Someone may ask. Can't God's love just motivate God to bring us to heaven without killing Jesus? Unfortunately, it doesn't work this way. Which brings us to our reason, human reason, that Jesus had to die. And while our names are not in the book of Luke, we are also in the story. God, as a holy God, cannot have sin in his presence. There needs to be some kind of atonement for human sinful actions. The most upright person on earth is not sinless. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This means that we just can't go be with God. Even though God is loving, even though God is kind, and even though God is gracious, we can't just go be with him. God in his holiness bans sin from his presence. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ through Jesus our Lord. And we see God in his grace sent his Son Jesus so that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Our reason for Jesus to die was because there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. We need a Savior. Our response now is to accept, to receive the gift, to be thankful, to be humble, and to live for him.